Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. At the time Isaiah wrote to Judah, the nation was in the midst of moral and spiritual decline. Material prosperity had lulled the people into indifference to spiritual matters. Many of the Jews, like the prosperity gospel preachers of our day, almost certainly believed that material prosperity was a sign of God's favor. But the truth is, the nation had rebelled against God. Isaiah 1:2. It had become insensitive to the goodness of God. Isaiah 1:3. And the people were weighed down with iniquity. Isaiah 1:4. All kinds of moral corruption prevailed in Judah. The prophet compares the leaders to Sodom and the inhabitants to Gomorrah. Isaiah 1:10. He strongly objects to the empty sacrifices they were offering to God. Isaiah 1:11 through 15. God always does all He can to bring the wayward back into the fold. In other words, He disciplines people so they will return to Him. The author of Hebrews discusses at length God's discipline of His people. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and scourges every son whom He receives. Hebrews 12:5 and 6. There are many cases in the Old Testament where God corrected and punished His people to bring them back to Him. Isaiah asked the Israelites, "Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint." Isaiah 1:5. We do not know all the measures God used to lead the Israelites to repentance, but we know at least two ways God has used through the centuries. Paul affirmed that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Romans 2:4. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, "For godly sorrow, that is, being sorry one has sinned against God, work repentance unto salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of this world works death." 2 Corinthians 7:10. It is obvious from Isaiah 1:5 that God had, in some way, stricken the Jews for their rebellion and hard-heartedness. Amos, another 8th century B.C. prophet, may provide some insight into what God had done to bring the Jews to their senses. God told the Israelites, "I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned unto me, says the Lord. And also I have withheld the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain on one city, and caused it not to rain on another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Lord." Amos 4, 6-8. The refrain, "You have not yet returned unto me," provides insight into why God disciplines His people. He wants them to return to Him. When the Lord disciplined His people during the 8th century B.C., they revolted yet more and more. If their hearts had been right, the chastisement God directed against His people would have brought about the desired result. But God will not force His love on anyone. We must, of our own free will, listen to the gospel, believe it, and obey it. When we become Christians, we have the freedom to serve God or to turn our backs on Him. We know He wants us to return to Him, but returning is our choice, not God's. I know this runs contrary to Calvinistic doctrine, but you know it is true. If it were not true, why did Joshua urge the Jews, "Choose this day whom you will serve"? Joshua 24:15. If men are not free to choose, Joshua's admonition makes no sense. The sickness of the Israelites could be cured only if they turned to God in genuine repentance. Thank you, and may God bless you.